my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. Well, go with me to Romans, the fourth chapter. We're in our series entitled Bold Faith. Bold Faith. Sunday was a really good lesson on confession. It is the most solid lesson that you'll ever hear on confession. And I hope you really got it. If you weren't here, make sure that you go back and that you listen to it. It was just really, really good. Now I want to go kind of dig in a little bit deeper tonight, and I want to talk a little bit about a couple different components. The main component or the main thing I want to talk about tonight is about being fully persuaded. Everybody say fully persuaded. All right. If things are going to get better in your life, how many know that you have to have a conviction that things are going to get better? Isn't that right? And so Romans 4 and 17, we'll read verses 17 through 21. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, watch this now, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19 says, and not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. So we can see that there's different levels and different types of faith because the Bible said that he wasn't weak in faith. And so we know that there's weak faith and that there's strong faith. Watch what it says in verse 20. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Here we go. There's strong faith, but was strong in faith. Doing what, class? Giving glory to God. And that's the key. When I'm fully persuaded, when I'm walking in bold faith, I can't have weak faith. Weak faith says, I don't know if it's going to happen. Weak faith, you know, is, you know, happy one moment and upset the next. Weak faith is, I think he's going to do it, but based on circumstances. No, the Bible said weak faith. Okay, bottom line is weak faith looks at the external. Weak faith looks at situations. So the Bible says that he was not weak in faith because he did not consider his own body now dead, nor Sarah's. So the Bible says he staggered out the promise of God through unbelief, but strong in faith, giving glory to God. And so how many know that in the process of whatever it is that you're believing for, you always have to magnify God. You always have to give God glory. That's just part of the process, all right? And so, and being fully persuaded, being what? That what he, talking about God, had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. And so you have to be persuaded that God's word is true, that God cannot lie, that he will not change, that if he said it, he's going to do it, that if he spoke it, he is going to bring it to pass. You have to be fully persuaded. Like, you have to know that you know that you know that you know that this word works. You got it. And to the degree that you know this word works, you will act on the word of God. And that's what faith is. Faith is acting on what we believe. As saints of God, we believe the word of God. You got it. So let me ask you something. If you don't mind, and I want you to talk back at me, can you just give me the address of the home that you currently live at? Can you? And I'm not going to show up at your house tonight or nothing like that. But just on 123, just tell me where you live. 123. Oh, y'all gave zip code and everything. Right. All right. Are you sure that's where you live? Positive. No doubt about it. So are you going home when you leave here tonight? So you mean you're going to the address that you just told me? So my question is, when you get on your street, what's your street? Okay. So when you get on your street, you got, now is your house on the left or is it on the right? Okay, some on the right, some on the left. All right, so when you get to your, when you start coming down the street and your house, whether it be on the left or on the right, when you come up on your house, are you going to pull in the driveway or are you going to pass by the house to see if anybody's in the house? You going to pull in the driveway? All right, now if you have a garage, you're going to go in the garage. So my question is, are you going to pull up in the driveway and go ring the doorbell to make sure it's okay that you go in your house? No, because you know that that is your house. You are fully persuaded that that is your house. Am I right about it? Like, nobody can change your mind about it. You got it? Matter of fact, if you get to your house and somebody else is in your house, you're going to dial 911 because that is not their house. That is your house. So you have this persuasion, you got it, this assurance that this is my house. When you leave out of here today, well, you know, where did y'all park? Which way? Okay, so when you leave, you go into what car? You going to what color is your car? Black. Okay, red. All right. So you're not going to the purple Cadillac that's sitting out there? Why? It's not your car, but you know which car is yours, right? So you're fully persuaded. You have an assurance that when I leave, watch this. Number one, my car better be out there when I get out there, right? And I'm going to my car. And when I pull out the key, remote, I'm not wondering if it's going to open. I know it's going to open because it's my car. You got it? That's going to take me to my house. Does that make sense? Well, you've got to understand that God has given you this word. You got it? And to the degree that you accept this word as fact, even though you don't have any sense realm evidence, and choose to believe that this is God's word, that it cannot change, and I'm fully persuaded that if he said by his stripes I'm healed, I'm healed. If he says that he wants to give me all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then it belongs to me. If he says that peace belongs to me, then peace belongs me. If you are just as fully persuaded about the word of God as you are about that car or a house, then you'll see it come to pass in your life. Does that make sense? But you have to be fully persuaded, because you don't second guess about the car you go to. You don't second guess about the house that you're going to go to tonight. Isn't that right? Right. So you can never second guess the word of God. Does that make sense? All right. So Abraham never considered his situation because he knew God was greater. So he never considered his situation. In your life, you can't consider your situation because you've got to know that God is greater than your situation. You got it? Now, please understand, faith never denies the facts. You got it? It might be a fact that there's something on the doctor report. It might be a fact that the banker told you. No, those are all facts, but how many facts change every day? It is the truth of God's word that stays the same. John 17:17, sanctify them through that truth. Thy word is true. And so you never scale back your expectations based on what it looks like around you, because anytime you step out on, watch this, on faith, you're never stepping out on your ability, you're stepping out on God's ability. So even though you're not able, it's okay because he is. And that's the key. That's what you have to see. One of the keys to seeing manifestation in your life is being confident, but also being patient. And that's what we've got to get. So I've got to have this confidence, but I also have to have this patience, because everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. So in patience, I possess my soul. Hebrews 10:35-36. Let's go there and let's see if we can't really dive into this lesson. There it is. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of what? All right. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So let's just back up for a minute. I'm going to talk about confidence in a few minutes, and so I'm going to jump the patience. But before I jump the patience, I want you to read this, because maybe you've never seen this like this before. Let's go back to verse 35 for a minute. He says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. So don't get rid of your confidence. Don't discount your confidence. Got it? Don't throw away your confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. All right? So my confidence is going to reward me. A lot of times, people have never seen the word of God like that, that it is my confidence that is going to reward me. My confidence in what? My confidence in God. My confidence in his word. You understand what I'm saying? My confidence is that in the fact that he's a way maker, that he's a miracle worker, that he's a promise keeper. So it is my confidence that is going to reward me. Now let's go to verse 36. He says, watch this, for you have need of patience that after, when? Because sometimes people want to have patience, but they haven't done anything. So he says, you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, we understand that his will is his word, right? So everybody say, his will is his word. So after you have done the will of God, or what the word of God has told you to do, You got it. So after, watch this, you have need of patience after you've done the word of God, after you've applied the word in your life. You know, because faith without works is dead being alone. After you have put some feet to your faith and done what the word of God says, now you say, okay, now I've done my part and I know God's going to do his part. Right? All right. Patience is real simple. Patience is simply the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. That's what patience is. It is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. Anybody besides me was expecting something by a certain time and it didn't show up. Everybody in the room, right? But you have to have this ability to handle delay and remain in joy. Why must I have this ability to handle delay and to remain in joy? Because faith is not frustrating. Because when I'm in faith, I'm in anticipation and expectation that God is moving on my behalf. Right? So I'm in joy, and my joy is not even in the fact of where I am, but based on the fact of I know where God is taking me. Does that make sense? All right? So what it is not, what patience is not, is sitting by the dock of the bay waiting on time to roll away. You got it. Just sit back. Well, Lord, just whatever you're going to do. No, no, no. He needs my permission and he needs my participation to usher his will into my life because the will of God is not automatic. So there's some things that I have to do. All right. And so I have to be consistently consistent. You got it. It's not the will of God for me to be consistent on Monday, have a bad day on Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm going to get back in the fight on Thursday. I'm frustrated on Friday, mad as a dog on Saturday, but Sunday, Pastor going to bring me all back around. That's what, let me tell you what happens if you live that kind of life. You wait a long time for things to come to pass. Does that make sense? All right. So it's being consistently consistent. It's continuing to do the things that I know that are right to do. All right. So let's talk about enemies of patience. Y'all want to do that? All right. Let's talk about enemies of patience. And we've all been here at some point or another. So we'll put that up on the screen. Enemies of patience. Did I give that to y'all or no? Oh, okay. All right. Enemies of patience. Number one is fear. All right. You've heard me say it before. Fear tolerated is faith. Faith contaminated. Thank you. Y'all know the word. So fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear shows up when things are not going right to take you off focus of what God has already said and what he's already doing. You got it? Just think about Peter. He's walking on the water. He's already doing it. But when he gets distracted, the wind starts going crazy, and he gets in fear. He gets afraid. You got it? And so fear always shows up to take you off focus, you know, of what God has already said and what he's already doing in your life. If you ever look in your life and you know, you notice you backtracked in some areas, if you look back and really pay attention, you'll see that God was already at work in those areas. It wasn't that God wasn't at work. Sometimes it was that we just didn't see things happening fast enough. Does that make sense? All right. And so that's number one. So fear. I don't want to talk too much, get too much in fear. But fear is simply the opposite of faith. You got it. Either I'm going to be in faith or I'm going to be in fear. And so you have to learn how to stay in a position of faith. So I was talking to Jay today and he was talking to me about how do you handle, you know, when you're just frustrated. He said, Dad, I'm learning the word. Of course, you know, I don't know it all, but I'm learning. He's like, but there's just times I'm just frustrated. I don't feel like talking to nobody. You know, and some of that, some of that's just you, a teenager. Adrian, you know, but anyways, I had to start teaching him how to work through some of those situations. You got it? And, you know, and I said, there's a spiritual side, but then there's also a natural side to it. So there's a spiritual side of when those thoughts come, you got to cast those thoughts down and you've got to replace those thoughts with the word of God, you know, or with whatever it is that you're trying to make happen. You got it. If, you know, he's a basketball player and those kind of things. He plays a game, doesn't do so good. Now, all of a sudden, these thoughts come to him, you know, about he's starting to, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. And those guys said, no, you can't think like that. So when those thoughts come, you cast those thoughts down in the name of Jesus. And then you say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you're giving me focus on the court, that you're giving me the strength and the ability that I need, that I time my jump at the right time to block the shots. You understand what I'm saying? See, what we have to understand is faith works in every area. You got it? And then I said, there's certain songs that you like. You got it? And so, you know, the songs that you like, Bishop William Murphy, he's my brother. So to Jay, that's Uncle Murphy. You got it? So, you know, you look at Lee, there's certain songs. He loves the song, It's Already Getting Better. That's his song from Uncle Murphy. Well, then you listen to that song. You got it? And so I'm trying to teach him there's some things that you do. You got it? And then, you know, there's some certain, you know, then basketball just calms him down. Go outside and shoot. You know, and so there's a spiritual part, but there's also a natural part. I told him, you know, one of the things I do is I call Uncle Eben. You know, that's my best friend. You got it? And so if I'm frustrated about something, or maybe I'm not even frustrated, but, you know, I'm just like, it's okay. I'm going to call him because after we talk for about 30 minutes being crazy on the phone together, everything is always okay. So there's a spiritual side, but then there's also a natural side. Does that make sense? All right. All right. So the first enemy of patience is fear. Second enemy, y'all getting blessed? The second enemy is frustration. All right? I kind of got ahead of myself because I just told the whole story. And so, but frustration is the result, honestly, of allowing fear to come in. Frustration causes you to lose focus, which leads to discontentment. And so you have to be careful because frustration will lead to discontentment. And discontentment leads to you making bad choices. You got it. You frustrated on the job. You got it. And then all of a sudden, I don't want this job. No, yes, you do. You prayed for that job. You asked God to give you that job. It is a good job. You better not leave that job. You understand? And so you allow frustration to cause you to get discontent. And then now, if you get discontent, it starts changing your attitude, which starts changing your performance. You understand what I'm saying? So you see how all that stuff just, and all because, you know, I allowed either fear or frustration to get in my life. You got it. I did that one time. Oh, boy, I did that one time, man. Lost a good job and then had to go work another job. I had a good job. They gave me my own company vehicle. They were wanting to push me through the company. You know, they thought a lot of me. And I got around this one guy who was just, you know, he just had a bad attitude. You got it? He just had a bad attitude, and I let his bad attitude get on me. I had wanted to work extra, so I started working on Saturdays. I'm making time and a half, and I was already making good money. He didn't like to work Saturdays. So not overnight, but over time, I allowed his bad attitude to get on me, you know? And then next thing you know, I gave up the job. They didn't fire me. I gave it up. You got it? Without a plan to get another job. Dumb, dumb, and dumb. I'm talking about me. I can talk about me like that. I would never talk about you like that, but I'm talking about me. You got it? Now, thank God, I found another job pretty much right away. Watch this. But now it was manual labor. So I go back to the job and ask them, can I have my job back? Guess what they said? Nope. Because I got frustrated. Then I got discontented. You got it? Then I started having an attitude, and they saw it. Then I started complaining about these little things. You got it? And so you got to be careful. All right. And so, and of course, I jumped ahead of myself. I should have put all these on one screen. It's fear, frustration, and discontentment, but we already talked about that. All right? All right. And discontentment, a lot of times, is just the attitude that things won't work. They really will. You got it. And so you have to, and I was talking to Jay, and I said, son, you have to learn how to have mental toughness for success in life. So you have to set your will. Because he says, Dad, I can't just not be frustrated. I was like, you really can. No, you can, but you have to set your will to that I'm not going to be frustrated and then do something. Because I told him, I said, man, you can't start worshiping God and be frustrated at the same time. One of them got to go. So you start listening to Uncle Murphy, you got it. You know, you start listening to the Word of God. You start singing a worship song, you know, those kind of things. And the more you do it, the more, watch this, the presence of God will show up and the frustration will go away. All because you set your will, I'm not going to be frustrated. Does that make sense? All right. Okay. How do you overcome these enemies, Pastor? How do you overcome these enemies? It's real simple. It's real simple. You detach your feelings from your faith. Bottom line, detach your feelings from your faith. Faith has nothing to do with feelings. Faith has everything to do with having a confident assurance in the Word of God. And to the degree I work this Word, the Word is going to work for me. All right? And I do it, watch this, based off of the past resume of everything that God has already done for me. Has God ever done anything for you? Has God ever, he's ever opened a door? Has he ever made a way? Has he ever healed your body? Has he ever protected your child? Okay, so there's a resume to show the faithfulness of God. Well, if he did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now, same God back then, right? So you have to have faith in the faithfulness of God because God is faithful. Watch this, even when we're not. Does that make sense? And I'm so excited because I'm not always faithful. I'm just going to tell the truth. You understand what I'm saying? But thank God he is always faithful. You know, let me, you know, kind of add some meat to I'm not always faithful. I'm not talking about in the area of I'm not always faithful to my wife and those kind of things. You understand what I'm saying? But there are days I get frustrated and I shouldn't. And the Holy Spirit tells me to turn, you know, calm down and I don't calm down. You understand what I'm saying? That is not God's fault. Does that make sense? You got it. And watch this. And I stay in that until I finally come to myself and realize the only way I'm going to get out of it is do it God's way. And then when I finally decide to do it God's way, hello, everything starts working out. Does that make sense? You know, and don't laugh at me because we all been in down the same road. You got it. But I'm just telling you that if I've done it, we've all done it. Does that make sense? All right. So you just detach your faith from your feelings and understand that faith and excitement are two different things. Excitement is temporary. Faith is perpetual. All right. You get excited because you got a new car. Yeah. And that's good. You should get excited. But how many know the excitement wears off after a while? How many know the new smell in the car wears off after a while? The payments start coming. You didn't realize it was going to cost that much for the tires for that car. The service on that car is quite expensive. You understand what I'm saying? Right. So excitement is temporary. All right. So excitement and faith is not the same thing. So that's why, you know, Pastor teaches a good faith message. You walk out of here. I want you to walk out of here. Watch this. In faith. You got it. You're probably going to walk out of here in faith and excited, which is fine. But I'm just telling you, the excitement is going to go away. The whole key is that you stay in faith. Because faith is perpetual. It is ever increasing. I go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So when I come in and I hear the word and then all of a sudden I grab hold and I say, you know what? That's right. I'm tired of always going to the doctor because of this ailment. I've been dealing with this thing for 3 years. You know what? That's it. I'm putting my faith on this thing. And if you stick with it, watch this now. If you stick with it, because faith is perpetual, it's ever increasing. Your faith will start going higher and higher because now you have set your will. Because remember, whatever you require is what's going to come to pass. Our faith produces what we require. So now I'm requiring this. So I go to the doctor's appointment, and the doctor says, oh, I haven't seen your blood pressure this good in a long time. What happens? Faith goes up. You understand what I'm saying? That's how that process works. All right? So we go from faith to faith. All right, let's talk about confidence for a few minutes. Oh, I'm doing good on time. Confidence is real simple. Confidence is believing on God's ability in me to win in life. All right? Now, that's James McIver's definition, all right? It is believing on God's ability. Because please understand, I can't do anything based on my ability. It's got to be on God's ability. So it's God's ability, watch this, but he's put his ability in me. You got it? So I can win in life. Because he said he came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that right? He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So there's something. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, a future and a hope. So God's got these thoughts and he's got these plans for me to excel and to win in life. So what he does is he doesn't do it for me, but he gives me his word and his ability in me so I can make it come to pass in my life. Because remember, when I receive Christ into my life, I receive all of who he is. So watch this. Is he a way maker? Is he a miracle worker? Is he a promise keeper? So watch this. So the promise keeper lives on the inside of me. The miracle worker lives on the inside of me. Is he our joy? So joy is already on the inside of me. Is he our peace? The Bible says that, right? So peace is on the inside of me. So watch this now. What you have to understand is, and I know sometimes believers don't quite get this and they think we're going a little bit too far, but watch this. No. I got to understand. Peace is already there. You got it? So watch this. I have the ability to open my mouth, watch this, and speak forth, you know, or call forth the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And watch this, and expect it to show up immediately. Why? Because it's already in me. Does that make sense? Right, because you do, as a child of God, you do believe that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven, right? Well, if you believe that eternal life is available to you right now, why don't you believe that peace is available to you right now? Why don't you believe that joy is available to you right now? Does that make sense? All right. John 16 and 33. This is good stuff. Let me have my water bin. John 16, 33 in the Amplified. Man, I used to love, I still love this scripture, but I used to teach this scripture all the time. I mean, all the time. It's just one of my go-to scriptures. And I think it's because, y'all know how I am, I put myself in the stories in the Word of God. And so I look at myself in scripture that Jesus is talking directly to me. So now I'm in the scripture, you got it, and Jesus is talking to me. And so, like, you know, he says, and he said to the disciples, well, I am one of the disciples. So I see myself sitting on the rock next to Peter, James. You understand what I'm saying? He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect or complete peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations. So Jesus didn't hold back. He said it's a fact that there are going to be some of these things. But watch this now. He said that is what is in the world. He said, but don't get it messed up. Don't think that this has to consume you. He says, so this is what you will see in the world. He says, but I want you to be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted, for I have already overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. So what he's trying to say is in the world, you have tribulations. You got it? You have trials, distresses, and frustrations. He says, I have overcome, watch this now, tribulations. I've overcome trials. I've overcome distress. I've overcome frustration, so it cannot conquer you. So you might even get frustrated for a moment, but frustration can't overcome you. Does that make sense? All right. Okay, all right. Keep talking about my confidence. Let me see what time it is. Oh, yes, indeed. All right. My confidence is in him. All right. It is in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. Right. Watch this. My confidence is in the fact that he is sovereign and there's nobody like him. All right. So once he sets an order, he abides by his order and he doesn't move from it. That's what, watch this, makes billions of people follow Jesus, because he's the most consistent person that we've ever met in our lives. Does that make sense? Right? Watch this. So he sets an order. He abides by the order. He says, I cannot move from my order. He says, as a matter of fact, he says, I set my word higher than myself. Right? All right. So he's sovereign. There's nobody like him. Watch this. He has an order that he abides by. Here's the next part. He cannot lie. These are all the reasons that I have confidence in him. All right. Numbers 23 and 19. Let me get through these quickly. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? Everybody say, Well, I can answer that in my own personal life. Because anytime he's given me the word on anything, he always backs it up with his power to perform it. And to the degree I stay in faith, it comes to pass in my life. Isn't that right? Titus 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot, he cannot lie, promised before the world again. I'm just giving you some proof text, all right? Numbers 23 says he's not a man that should lie. Titus 1 says he's the God that cannot lie. So watch this. You serve Jehovah Jireh, the God that cannot lie. You serve Jehovah Rophika, the God that cannot lie. You serve Jehovah Shalom, the God that cannot lie. You understand what I'm saying? So if he says peace belongs to me, then peace belongs to me. All right. Okay, all right. Oh, okay, all right. Let me give you Hebrews 6 and 13. All right, I got 4 minutes and we got to get out of here. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, what did he do, class? He swore by himself. You know, you got to be somebody to swear by yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Saying, watch this now, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting... Oh, that's what I'm looking for. Okay. And so after he had patiently, oh, wait a minute. Am I in it? Oh, maybe I gave y'all the wrong one. I'm in NIV. I'm going to read the NIV. So after waiting patiently, Abraham received what he was promised. KJV says the same thing. So after he had, he did what? Because we're no different from Abraham. And so just how he had to patiently endure for some things, there you go. Sometimes we got to patiently endure for some things. All right, let's go home, Courtney. Let me tell you what the confusion is, the issue. Let me tell you what holds you back from confidence sometimes. The thing that a lot of times holds all of us back from confidence is our past mistakes, our past failures, past situations that we've gone through. You got it? And sometimes we forget that the blood of Jesus has already covered those things. And so, yes, the enemy will try to bring it up to make you feel shame, to make you feel bad, and those kind of things, because he wants you to put your head down. But God doesn't want you to put your head down because the blood of Jesus has already covered all those things. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so the confusion is you see yourself as what you went through, not understanding that you can go through it and not be it. So you can separate yourself. Like Paul said, in times past, yeah, we went through some stuff in times past. Yeah, I had a situation in times past, but that's not me anymore. And so the key is you got to see the way God sees you. That you're the apple of his eye, that you're the object of his affection, that his favor surrounds you as a shield. That when God forgave you, he threw it into the sea of forgetfulness to remember it no more. The only time God remembers your past is when you bring it up. That's it. So don't bring it up. And if the devil tries to bring it up, just, you know, don't worry about him. Just ignore him. Because he's powerless in our lives. The only power the enemy has is the power that you give him. You got it? And so you've got to remember that you're here in this dispensation on purpose, and God knew that you would be here in this dispensation on purpose to make a difference. And no matter who you are, God has called you to make a difference. And you can never move away from that. You got, well, I wasn't really supposed to be here because my mama said they was only planning on having three and I'm number four. Too bad for mom and daddy, but that's not God's plan. So mom and daddy wasn't planning on you, but God was always planning on you. Because you are not the product of your parents' passion. You are the product of the purposes of God. So even though they weren't planning on you, God was. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you are who you are because of the relationship you have with the Father and the blood that Jesus shed for you and the fact that he knew that you would be here and that he ordained you to be here in this moment. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, and it's 8 o'clock and I'm going home. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I just like to tell people what that means is he be the man. I could really break it down because it means a little bit more than that, but that's what I just, you know, the quick version. He be, you know, he's the only one that can say, it is I, be not afraid. You understand what I'm saying? Verse 10. And ye are complete in him. You got to get that. And ye are complete in him. You may have made some mistakes, but you are complete in him. You might have messed up in some relationships, but you're complete in him. You might have went through a divorce, a bankruptcy, been to jail before, got a felony on your record, but you are complete in him. And that's the key. And you can never move away, because when I realize that I'm complete in him, my confidence comes. You got it. When I realize I'm complete in him, my faith arises. When I realize I'm complete in him, watch this now. Now I realize that I have power over the devil. So I'm complete in him. When I realize that I'm complete in him, now my faith rises so I can accomplish the will of God for my life. So everybody say, I am complete in him. One more time. I am complete in him. Regardless of my past, mistakes, failures, situations, I am complete in him. I don't worry about what others say or how others see me. I am complete in him. And that's it. That's the bottom line. I am complete in him. And when you understand that, man, you move forward in faith. Because see, anytime you start making headway in faith and you start making some things happen, the devil's going to try to start bringing up some old stuff, and or situation happens, just say years ago something happened in a relationship, you got it, all of a sudden the devil will try to bring up something that happened years ago. Why? To try to get you in condemnation. And then try to make you think that your spouse is thinking about it. Your spouse ain't thinking about nothing. And don't you go trying to bring it up. Does that make sense? So don't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. You are complete in him. And so when you know you're complete in him, you can square your shoulders back, lift up your head, and know that if God is for me, he's more than the whole world against me. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Let's stand all over the building. We got to get up out of here, y'all.